Our scripture is Psalm 113. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Well, you may have caught the theme this morning through the singing and the text. We are focusing on praise. And it's really something that we could focus on every Sunday, and really we do in many ways as we gather together in worship. To praise the Lord. Todd, I don't know if you could put up the screen of the school kits, if you have that one. Here it is. This is how I want to start praising the Lord in my sermon today. Glory to God. We put together 228 school kits for Mennonite Central Committee. Now, if that's not a reason to praise the Lord, I don't know what is. Because these school kits, this is a part of our worship. These are going to be distributed all around the world so that children can have the basic things that we take for granted every day. A notebook and a pencil to be able to do their homework. So I just want to say glory to God, Whitmer Heights, for that. And thank you to all of you that helped and distributed, John and Catherine. So this morning we're thinking about praise, but not just praise, but praise in the middle of the storm. Praise in the middle of the storm. And for this context here in the Psalms, there's certainly always a storm of some kind going on as well that the writer of the Psalms is aware of. Praise in the storm. There's a song, I'll Praise You in the Storm. I don't know if any of you guys have heard it. I'll Praise You in the Storm and I Will Lift My Hands. And there's a little line in there that I think is the most significant for me. It says, even in the midst of praising, it's still raining. And it's still raining. Wow. This morning, Whitmer Heights, it's still raining for some of you. And when I say that, it's hard things that some of us are walking right now. And I'm very aware of that. It's still raining. What does it mean to have a posture of praise in the midst of the storm? And you know, there's really a storm in Lancaster right now related to many different things, but one thing that's really just been kind of on my heart a lot, especially as a chaplain at Lancaster General right now, is the storm of a heroin epidemic. And it's absolutely destroying lives. And it's really heartbreaking and scary. There's neighbors dying from a heroin epidemic. And I kind of had a new awareness this week as I was talking with one of the physicians. He said, we have one person to blame first and foremost for this heroin epidemic, and it's the hospital. Why? Why is it the hospital first and foremost? Because in the early 90s, there was this cultural shift in how we think about pain. And avoiding pain became the fifth vital sign, as he said. And so it was so important that patients had zero pain that they literally just over-medicated incredible amounts of narcotics. Now, what happens after 25 years of that? Well, in that system of over-medicating, people become addicted. And their children are then in that system of addiction as well. He said, we have to start first and foremost with confessing we have over-medicated with narcotics. Why do I say that? Well, I think that, I'm of course, then I'm thinking about my sermon and psalm, and I'm making all these connections about avoiding pain, and why was that so important as a cultural shift, and why today are we still so afraid of pain and conflict and vulnerability? And when we try to take zero pain out and not pay attention to the hurt and the vulnerability, what does that do to us when we harden ourselves to that? Are we creating the same kind of epidemic in different kinds of ways that has created the narcotic epidemic today? And so part of the reason I say that is to say, let's not try to have zero pain. Now, I'm aware that some of us are walking very scary roads that involve pain, and I'm in no way trying to take away from that. But what I'm trying to suggest is that we don't want to become numb to the storm around us, to the fact that it's still raining, to the conflict, whatever it may be, but to continue to recognize pain and vulnerability as opportunities for transformation, as opportunities to see God at work, as opportunities to become more formed in the likeness of Christ. What is the pain? What is the storm going on in this psalm this morning? Well, it's actually a potential major question of what's going to happen to us. See, this really boils down to a story being told through the Psalms. And the story at its most basic level is about kingship. And so the first section of the Psalms attempts to tell the story of the Davidic, the kingship of David's monarchy, from beginning to end. That's like the first third. And the demise of the monarchy. So talk about pain and conflict and questions of what's going to happen to us. The Psalms tell the demise of the monarchy, especially in 587 BCE, when the whole nation is placed under question, the kingship of God. According to the Psalm 89 and 2 Samuel 7, there is promise that Davidic kingship would be an eternal one. So now with the collapse, what has happened? Has God abandoned us? The demise of human kingship is placed in doubt as they have to be reminded anew of the kingship of God. And so then after that first third tells the story of that, the next section responds to the political and, more importantly, a theological crisis brought on by the Davidic kingship collapsing. And what it might mean then for these people to think about what it means for God to be their king by proclaiming over and over and over again in the Psalms that God was, God is, and God will be forever not only your king, but your Lord. And we're going to see that most clearly in the New Testament, when we are introduced to Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Christ. And so here in this psalm, we hear that the underlying tone is that the Lord is King. And in this book, the faith that despite what has happened to the human king, David, God will remain King. That fundamentally is what motivates this drive to praise. The Psalm in 113 exhorts us, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who looks down on the heavens and the earth?" And so why, we ask the question, do we praise the Lord? Because the Lord is King. Has been, will be, forever and ever. I'm really fascinated by the beginning and the end of Psalm 113. And just the phrase, praise the Lord. And if any of you like to dig into words and their meanings, the word hallelujah here could be a substitute for praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in the Greek. Praise, halle, hallelu, and then Yah, Yahweh. Isn't that cool? Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Praise the King. Praise the Lord. So the next time you sing in a song, hallelujah, think about the Hebrew of Yahweh. Takes a little bit of a new meaning to it. And so to begin and end in hallelujah participates in this grand drama of the writer of the Psalms, which is always moving from lament and questions of where is God to cries of my God, why have you forsaken me? To imperative calls to remember again that God has always been your King. And so therefore we can respond with hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, even though it's still raining. It's still raining. What does it mean to praise in the midst of the storm for us today? Well, one thing that I want to make sure that we recognize is that to praise in the storm is to truly embrace all of the emotions that the storm brings. And one of the other texts in the lectionary this morning is from Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he is known. That is so significant that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah recognizes all of the emotions of the human experience, and Jeremiah weeps for his people because he knows that they're not following God the way God calls him to in this covenant community. And he weeps for them. He weeps for the pain and the brokenness that he sees. And I'm just going to read a little bit here. The lectionary text from Jeremiah is from 8:18 to 9:1. It says, my joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. In other words, it's still raining. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her King not in her? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are still not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. Jeremiah just grabs the raw emotion of seeing pain and brokenness and suffering and sin. And he weeps. And I think that's significant for us to hear that, because sometimes, and again, it's going back to this cultural shift in the early 90s of don't have pain. Get rid of pain. We don't want pain. And it can make us numb to emotion. Pain and tears is part of the design of God and the design of God's, for how we express our brokenness. And there's healing in tears. And so I think one of the things that we hear from Jeremiah this morning is that we are all weeping together in some ways. And the way that I've seen Whitmer Heights come together in difficult times, I'm just blown away by what I see there. And I think even this week especially, with Steve and Lori and all that you guys are going through, the response from Whitmer Heights, you guys just preached the sermon way better than I ever could by embodying what it means to be the church together in difficult times that we do for one another. Pain in the storm. It's still raining. Hallelujah. And so certainly one of the storms that some of us are experiencing is the storm of sickness. It's a storm of uncertainty. What might it mean to still praise in the midst of that storm? And one of the things that I would encourage us to do is to learn from the past. Whitmer Heights, you guys have been a congregation that has gone through unimaginable pain and freak trauma. Just in the little bit that I've learned in my 2 years here. What have you learned in the past about how you care for one another and about how you keep praising God in the midst of that trauma? More than probably the average congregation has experienced. What have you learned together that we can remind ourselves again for how we move forward in difficult times, for how we keep praising in the midst of the storm? And so I wonder what it would look like of how we can share together of where we've seen God at work in the past and how we've worked through this and how we can continue to do that moving forward. Expressing the full range of emotions and yet still being called to this posture of praise, of remembering that God is King. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And the second storm that came to my mind as I was preparing this sermon was just the storm of what the whole church is going through right now. It's the reason that we had Merv and Joanne in Sunday school this morning. The reason why we have to be having these discussions. And we are in a storm of just uncertainty right now with our affiliation. And I don't say that to create this fear, but at some point you just have to acknowledge that this is just kind of unprecedented times in the life of the church. That our denomination is going through an unprecedented time, our conference is, and our congregation is, and let's be honest, our families are too. At every level, we can see a sort of storm. And first and foremost, the first word is, let's just keep saying hallelujah, that in the midst of the storm, we are still called to praise God, to praise the Lord. What would that look like for Whitmer Heights? That in the midst of all of this going on right now, that I don't take lightly at all, to still have a posture first of praising God. Of remembering what we are centered in, of what we are unified in, of our worship to God, where Jesus is at the center of our faith. If you can imagine what Israel was going through when the Davidic monarchy was collapsing, and the writer of the Psalms is still calling them to praise and to remember that God is their King, how much more can we, how many years later, in 2016, remember in the midst of this storm that God is still our King and that we're still called to a posture of praise? And so I think, Neil, thank you for helping to lead us this morning in having a posture of praise in how we think about this upcoming discernment. Thank you to Whitmer Heights and to everybody that, overall, I just want to say thank you for remaining together this long, which I don't take for granted, that we're saying we're going to stick together through this process. And what does it look like to trust the Holy Spirit through this process coming up in October? What does it look like to not be afraid of the storm? What does it look like to not use so many narcotics that we don't feel any pain anymore, but actually end up doing more damage in the end? What does it look like to embrace the storm, embrace the pain, embrace the uncomfortableness and the vulnerability, and to trust that the Spirit of God is going to work in us, that we don't have to be afraid of the conversation? What does that look like? It means you have to keep leaning in. As Bishop Jason says, lean in to the conflict. Lean in to the pain. And as we lean in, and as we trust the Spirit of God, that this isn't about... God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for Whitmer Heights. What does it look like to lay aside our own desires and all of us maybe have a desire of what we hope Whitmer Heights does. To lay it down with open hands and to say, God, you're in control here. This is your church. And we're going to trust you. And I want to make sure you hear this from me. I will be your pastor regardless of this decision that you make. And that this is not a decision from the top down. This is a decision from the ground up. Why do I say that? Because not every church culture has that understanding of how decisions are made. There's some churches where you go and they say, whatever the pastor and the board says, that's it. And then we just go with that. Don't ask questions, just they decided, let's go. And maybe some people are here saying, we kind of just wish you'd do that. Well, guess what? That's not the DNA of Whitmer Heights. That's not the DNA of who I am. I don't think it's healthy, personally. Because at the end of the day, if that decision's made and then people are unhappy, that's why people just split and polarize, and 2 months later, the church is in a really bad place. If it's from the ground up, where people are sitting around the tables and listening to one another and talking and leaning into the uncomfortable pain, in the end of the day, it's going to be more healthy for this church. And at the end of the day, this is a decision for Whitmer Heights to make, not for your pastor to make. And so for me, the most important thing for me as your pastor is that people, wherever they are at, feel cared for and feel heard. Not what decision you make, but that you feel cared for and heard. That what whoever the minority decision is, that those minority people feel like their voice was heard, feel like they are cared for. And so, praise in the storm. One last thing I would just say about this discernment coming up in October. And he was coming back from vacation and just kind of getting an update on things going on, and hearing again, just like you kind of escape it for 2 weeks, and then you come back and it's just like, well, there's everything again. But just kind of everything got put into perspective a little bit. And what I say is, like, so I'm thinking about this discernment in October and, you know, what decision Whitmer Heights make, but everything just kind of felt different this time coming back from vacation. Like, we have families who are going through hard times right now. We have college students or young adults who aren't in college who are figuring out their lives right now. We have people going through really difficult experiences in the hospital. We have families who are divided over issues. We have people just really asking, where is God at? We have people asking, does my life matter? We have people that don't have housing and food. And everything just got put into perspective. Like, yeah, this decision's important, but there's other really important things too, like our families. And how do we keep all of this in perspective and be a congregation united on caring for one another first in the midst of this big decision that we're making? And to keep all of that in perspective, it's a really important decision. I'm not trying to take it that down at all, but just to remember that there's other more important things at the end of the day for how we care for one another. How we are centered in the love of God. Praise in the storm while it's still raining. What can we learn this morning from the psalm? That even when everything is crashing down and it's still raining, what does it look like to not just over-medicate right away, to take away the pain? But certainly, you need some pain medication, but to embrace a little bit of the vulnerability, a little bit of the conflict, a little bit of the storm, to lean into it, and like the prophet Jeremiah, to express the full range of emotions in it, and yet to be centered in this posture of praise in the midst of the storm, to keep remembering the story of God's everlasting love, from generation to generation that we are a part of, and that God is our King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this psalm. Thank you for the reminder that it is to keep praising you. God, we remember the different kinds of storms in our lives right now. I do pray for each person walking the scary journey of a storm, whatever it may be. Or corporately as our congregation coming up in this discernment time. God, may we lean into these storms, trusting in you, praising you, remembering the story we are a part of. In Jesus' name, amen.